The good economic news of recent months still leaves a few people bewildered, especially if they live in rural areas. Those are slow to feel the effects of recovery from recession. Recent numbers from Oregon show that situation very much in force, with population centers beginning to hum along, while areas where people are fewer and farther apart are still in something of a funk. We suspect our guest has more exact terms, something other than funk, at his disposal. Mark McMullen is the state economist for Oregon in the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Mark, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's very good to have you. What exactly does your office do? There's a lot to it, apparently.
We do quite a bit. Our primary role is the state economic and revenue forecast that we put together every quarter, and which determines, you know, how much the legislature has to spend and the kicker law and all that sort of thing.
All right, so you're the lucky guy who has to make the educated guesses about where revenue is going to end up over the course of a two-year period.
Lucky indeed.
Well said. We'll come back to that later. Let me walk from revenue forecasts to economic activity then, I mean, because this is essentially where the raw material that ends up going into those forecasts of revenue. What? Give us some idea of how the process works, what you're monitoring, and how you pull in all the numbers.
Well, most of it, of course, starts with the economy. Our personal income taxes and other tax revenues that we get in the state are highly dependent on how many jobs are out there and how much money folks are hauling in, and both business owners and workers. And so, you know, that's our primary focus is just on how much people are making out there, both, you know, in terms of their investments and in terms of the workplace.
And so how is Oregon doing at the moment?
Doing better. We're improving. But as you queued up the segment, we've had a real uneven recovery. You know, Portland's had steady growth for 4 years, and they've regained all the jobs lost during the recession. Our other major metropolitan areas have been going pretty well for a couple of years, but they're only about halfway back to where they were before the recession started. And our rural areas have just now started to see a little improvement, you know, but slow rates of growth, and we're still a good 8 or 9% below where we were before the recession hit.
So for the state overall, are we still somewhat behind where we were when the recession started or when the recession hit its depth?
No, after the last couple of big months of job gains in terms of our survey, we now have regained all the jobs that Oregon lost. Now, they're not the same jobs, and there are more people here now than there were back then. But in raw numbers, we do have more workers now than we did, or more jobs now than we did.
All right, that was going to be one of the questions, was that if it's the same number of jobs, great. But then, as you point out, two things. Number one, population, also differences in jobs. So do the jobs that have been created in the past 4 years, do they pay as well or often not as well as the ones that they replaced?
Well, some do. We're getting increased polarization. That is, most of the job gains we're seeing are either on the high end of the income spectrum or the low end of the income spectrum, and not a whole lot in the middle. So, you know, in terms of the middle wage jobs, some of them make sense given the nature of this recession. We've had real hard hits to local government, teachers and the like, and firefighters and public safety officials. Also, construction workers are mid-wage jobs, and other housing-related industries, you know, are still not all the way back. So, you know, this is part of it. Part of it's the more long-term technological story, where we're losing a lot of jobs in administrative assistance and sales and the like to technological change.
So when you talk about the high-end jobs, I'm curious about those. I assume the low-end jobs are things like you know, retail service kinds of things, you know, burgers and selling clothes and stuff like that. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but I'm more curious about the high-end jobs as well.
Yeah. Now, these, in addition to the overall recovery, haven't been spread evenly across the state. But what we have seen in terms of high-end jobs is a tremendous amount of professional and business services in particular are doing well, as so are a lot of health services.
When we say professional and business service, I know I query all the people who come in talking about economics about what that means, professional and business services.
Oh, all sorts of accountants and lawyers and managers and the like.
All right. So the urban-rural recovery differential, is it? I don't know how much you get a chance to compare notes with people in similar jobs in other states, but is it more pronounced in Oregon, do we know?
It It is partly because our rural areas are very rural, but other areas in the West, it's similar. And what happens is a lot of our areas are very, very highly exposed to these weak sectors of construction and local government. It's not so much that they have an army of teachers and firefighters in rural Oregon, but that they don't have a lot of other industries to offset them. They don't have diverse economies with ballet dancers and advertising executives and the like to try to offset the blow that those big sectors took. And so to a certain extent, it is across the country. Now, one thing that I like to point out in terms of hopeful measures for rural Oregon is the population trends in rural Oregon are vastly better than they are in other areas that have taken similar hits to resource and manufacturing industries. So the fact that people still want to come here, a lot of them are retirees, but the fact that we get a lot of folks flowing into rural Oregon is certainly a cause for hope in comparison with areas in the Farm Belt and the Rust Belt and the like.
Mark McMullen's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Oregon State Economist, working out of the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis. We're talking about the recovery process in Oregon, slower in the rural areas, slower outside the Portland metro area, certainly. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Mark McMullen.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy New Year
Happy
to
New
your
Year.
Whole group. You're wonderful. I just wanted to make a comment. While we want as much prosperity in the rural areas as we can get, let's face reality. Prosperity is rural areas just do not produce as much prosperity. Unless, of course, we want to cut off all our timber, which that would only last for a few decades. But other than that, it just doesn't work. And people who there are a lot of people I know, a lot of my friends want to live in the rural areas. I don't care to, but many people do. And if they want to live there, that's fine. But let's just face some reality that we're not going to have as much prosperity.
All right, thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, it's clear that the model in rural areas is different than it is in a big city. It's very difficult for a lot of rural economies to support a lot of very super high income jobs and the like in industries. But that said, the cost of living is less as well. So there are lifestyle considerations involved. So prosperity is measured differently sometimes in the rural areas than it is elsewhere in the cities. And I think that's a good thing.
I'm curious, though, just on basic numbers, if the movements are just a little sharper in urban areas. If, for example, when a recession hits a place like Portland, for example, if it tends to be a fairly deep valley but a pretty quick rise back out of it, where in the rural areas it might be a bit more of a smoother line.
Yes, I think that's true to a certain extent. In the past, it was the opposite. When rural areas, we were tied particularly to the manufacturing and the resource industries, when we had a lot more mills, there was very much V-shaped recoveries that you're describing in the rural areas, where the mills would shut down and then they'd open back up and all the jobs would come back. Not so much anymore. Now our rural areas are facing this long-run decline in our resource and manufacturing industries, and so this kind of puts a damper on, you know, any upswings that they've had.
I know that we're talking to somebody from SoReady, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., tomorrow about the process of trying to bring people, for example, into the Rogue Valley. I mean, everybody's working to bring jobs in. It doesn't sound like anybody's really found one great way to light rural areas on fire, if you'll pardon the expression, economically.
No, but I think we are seeing movement in that direction. SoReady, they can talk to you about the great things they're doing about locally sourced code and finding folks down there in Southern Oregon, you know, out of their bedroom that can, you know, create IT services for local industries and the like. And they have, you know, a lot of exciting things. But the other place that, you know, does show a lot of promise are these resource industries. You know, although under attack, these resources, you know, will always be a big part of the Southern Oregon economy. And we see over time, you know, a real shift towards quality away from quantity, because, you know, the harvests and whatnot are tough, so we look at quality of goods, turning a bunch of grapes into a $20 bottle of wine or a bunch of wood into a better yet a $200 cabinet. We're moving in that direction. You know, it's painful, but we're moving in that direction. I think it creates hope for the future.
Mark, is it often a pretty clear formula when does it end up being a pretty clear formula in the sense that X number of miles from an urban area, you're going to show, you know, Y times employment or something like that?
Recently, certainly, in the last 10 or 20 years, proximity to urban areas has been a real good indicator of growth. And folks at Oregon State University have done a lot of good work in their rural studies department talking about the ties to the metropolitan areas and how rural areas can try to exploit those, particularly with some of the connectivity we have now that we didn't have in the past. And so, yes, the population centers have done better, particularly, you know, over the last 20 or 30 years. But again, the prosperity isn't all measured by necessarily isn't all about, you know, how many jobs and how much income we can generate.
It's not just by the numbers. There's a quality of life thing to be considered as well.
That's right.
Mark McMullen, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Oregon State Economist. You can join us as we talk about rural areas lagging in the economic recovery. Phone number here, 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area, 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. We'd mentioned a little bit about Southern Oregon in the context of So Ready, and I'm just curious about the recent sets of numbers you have indicating which rural areas are doing better and worse than others.
Oh, certainly. Across Southern Oregon, we, of course, are seeing a lot of improvement in Medford and Ashland and the areas along the I-5 corridor. Some of these were part of the epicenter of the housing downturn. And so as, you know, housing gets back on its feet, these places have started to show some healthy growth rates throughout, and a little bit in Grants Pass as well. As we get out west into the coastal counties, some of these are still have yet to really show any significant bounce back. But the bleeding has stopped in most of the counties.
So there are no losses. I mean, they're not losing further jobs or having businesses closed. They're just sort of at a steady state at the moment?
Yeah, for the most part. It's of course, hard to generalize across all of rural Oregon, but yes, like most of our southern coastal communities now, it's been a few years since we've lost jobs, but unfortunately have yet to really join in the recovery to any significant degree.
That kind of brings me back to the whole issue of infrastructure, though, because when you think about the transportation network on the Oregon coast, for example, where it's 101 or nothing, pretty much, it's a far cry from a place like Ashland or Medford, where you have traffic from both ends of the country really coming through your town on Interstate 5, for example.
Absolutely, and it's a far cry from coastal communities across the U.S. If you look at a U.S. highway map, there are hundreds of arteries to every East Coast beach. But you know, it's difficult to get out to Coos Bay at this time of year. So access is everything. To the extent that we can get people and goods to these rural areas, the better off they'll be. I think that's hard to argue with. You know, Southern Oregon is such a beautiful place and, you know, such a unique place that, were we to, to the extent that we can improve the infrastructure and get people and goods there, I have a good feeling that those would be useful investments.
I wonder, Mark, if there's something of a piling on effect, and I ask this with a particular eye toward Klamath County, where, for example, the economy has been still sort of post-recessionary for a while now. Because things weren't going that well and because of some other issues, they, for example, lost their daily airline service, and that might lead to a few more people thinking, well, I was thinking of moving my business there, but now I can't because I can't fly out of there. I just wonder if you get into cycles like that in rural communities where it seems to feed itself into a bit more of a downward spiral.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It is that way. And in terms of getting additional infrastructure investments, there's a little bit of this as well in terms of the political environment. It's very hard to sell an infrastructure project in a rural area because it's a lot of it is aspirational. If we build it, you know, if we dredge this or we build this highway, we'll bring you all sorts of jobs. Well, those are up against areas that have current capacity constraints and needs for a bridge across the Columbia River or whatnot. So it becomes difficult to compete for the infrastructure resources as well and in terms of the public funding situation. And so, yeah, it certainly is the case. And businesses in terms of the workforce, you know, they want to come to a place that has their infrastructure and their workforce needs. And to the extent that rural Oregon loses some of its young working age households, that can be a problem. Businesses won't come because there aren't workers, and workers won't stay because there are no jobs. And so you do get these negative spirals. With Klamath County in particular, however, I think there are a couple of big anchor employers in Klamath County, and at this point, the overall county numbers tend to follow what's going on with their anchor employers.
Does it help, for example, a place like Klamath Falls to be just down the road from Bend, which apparently is doing pretty well?
Yeah, Bend is certainly coming back rapidly. They, very much like Medford and Ashland, they really took it on the chin during the recession, losing, you know, 50% a larger share of jobs than the statewide total because of the nature of the housing bust there. But it appears that is long forgotten in Bend, and that Bend is off like a rocket. Klamath County should benefit some from that. It's not exactly a bedroom community, but it is, you know, along the arteries that head to Bend. So there should be some spillover. But hopefully the same sort of factors that are happening in Bend also are happening in Klamath County. We are seeing improved migration trends there, more retirees coming from California to Klamath County, and with any luck we can leverage those into some, you know, some more growth.
I'm glad you mentioned retirees, because that raises a question that is true for Bend, maybe not for the same reason as it is for parts of Southern Oregon as well, where you've got people moving in who don't necessarily need to have jobs, in some cases because they're retirees. And I don't know in Bend if it's more trust fund kids or what the deal is, but it seems like the population growth and particularly the housing costs have risen faster than might otherwise have been indicated for such a place.
That's right. And for us as economists and regional development folks don't really understand how to exploit wealth and folks that come in with wealth rather than income and current jobs. We know all about young working age households, which are the gold standard for economic development. They bring the workforce skills, and they are ready to set their roots and buy their houses and their furniture and their cars and whatnot. And we know a lot about what this does, but what we don't really know about is how to leverage folks that are coming in with wealth, like the retirees, who aren't necessarily in these root-setting years. And I think we need to pivot some of our, some of our development activities toward that. Same with our public financing systems, which we know are difficult given Oregon's reliance on the income tax and our caps on property tax. It becomes tricky to extract tax revenue from retiree households as well. We get a little bit of capital gains and the like, but we don't have a big sales tax or high property taxes that other states use to fund their public services with.
Given the aging of the population generally, and certainly in some of these areas that we're talking about here, I just wonder how big a growth industry healthcare is, particularly care for aging folks.
Oh, it certainly is. And to date, it was really the only, or one of the only major industries we've had in Oregon that was roughly recession-proof. It continued to grow jobs throughout the recession and into today. Now, in terms of rural areas exploiting this, some are better positioned than others. How close you are to another population center makes a difference in terms of where hospitals and these central services are located. In particular, a lot of our rural areas that are too close to Portland are not necessarily seeing a lot of growth in their health services as you might expect. A place like Corvallis has a university, an aging rural population, but yet isn't seeing the same set of growth because it's a short drive away from Portland. But in the southern Oregon, in a place, as we described before, like Coos Bay, that's relatively remote, I think there's a lot of hope to become, a regional healthcare hub.
I haven't talked at all about anywhere east of Bend. I'm just curious to know about along the I-84 corridor, along the Columbia Gorge, for example, and how things are going, and maybe even far out into eastern Oregon as well, if those are really, really lagging.
Well, yeah, a lot of the southeast is the worst off in terms of recent job gains and whatnot. There, you know, our smaller eastern counties that don't get California retirees, or fewer, are struggling the most. Now, the gorge and the northernmost part of the state actually has been a success story for much of the recession. Didn't hit as hard there, and there were a lot of things going on in terms of wind power and the agricultural prices of wheat for the Far East and the fruit in the middle. Plus, we had the drone industry growing up around Hood River and the like, and so the northernmost band of Oregon actually did as well as better than expected during the recession, and, you know, took about half the hits as elsewhere. Now we're seeing less growth around there because we've seen a moderation in these farm prices, as well as, you know, the weight over the last couple of years of the Umatilla federal spending over there at the Arms Depot winding down.
All right, so certainly a bit of a slow return from recession for the rural areas in Oregon. Mark, I have to ask before we go whether you think the kicker is going to activate this time around.
Well, so far, so good. It looks like we're just about at that envelope of the kicker. We expect a very big April of tax collections when folks file their tax returns, and we think it'll take us right up to the edge, but not over it in terms of the kicker threshold.
All right. Thanks for telling us so much about what's going on with the Oregon economically. Mark McMullen is the state economist. Thanks again so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.